The Drives podcast is presented by Disability Advantage Group. Need help applying for Social Security, disability benefits? One call does it all. Call Disability Advantage Group at 865-566-0800 or visit dag-us.com.
It's time for The Drives Top 5 at 5.
How about Dustin showing up and picking up a pair of tickets to Tennessee, Chattanooga tomorrow?
He's just coming by here to give us a hard time.
Yeah.
The man's walking out of here with premium seats.
Well, I just assume you better not sell those. No. We have eyes on the seat, you knucklehead. Yeah, man, he's psyched up, so... congratulations, Dustin, winning fabulous gifts and prizes. It's quitting time on your Friday. Jake, the White Mamba, Lester, back in the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios with the top five at five.
Number one, we've got some college football tonight. Kansas-Boston College kicks off at 7:30. Washington and Houston will take over after that at 9:15. But first, we have Wake Forest and North Carolina in an ACC game that's not an ACC game. The two cross-division rivals will match up tonight as non-conference opponents because they both have 8 conference games already scheduled this year, but they wanted to preserve the rivalry, so they're just going to play anyway.
You're a little surprised that the folks out in Vegas are not exactly buying into the Mack Brown North Carolina hype. You would think that you beat South Carolina on a neutral field, you beat Miami, that would garner some respect. Wake Forest, a 3-point favorite, or is that just, you know, folks giving Dave Clawson and what he's built at Wake Forest a little bit of respect?
I mean, he's another one. This was the only place where his offense wasn't
that's so
successful.
True.
I mean, I still think it's wacky, and I, to this day, will never understand what Fulmer was thinking, but he's successful.
I mean,
unless his radio guy's giving out the playbook.
Butch Jones was successful. You know, he won 2 conference championships in the Big East, was successful at Central Michigan. You say, yeah, well, he followed Chip Kelly or whatever. But, I mean, that's an alternate universe for you. Somewhere Butch Jones is a head coach with Bob Shoup as his defensive coordinator and Dave Clawson as his offensive coordinator, and he's just racking up championships left and right. That's why I say.
I mean, that would truly be bizarro world, like the complete opposite Butch.
That's what opposite Butch. Lyle, he's got like longer hair, combed in a like kind of a.
He's not uptight, and he doesn't call the cops on the parties.
He's just really relaxed. Everything he says makes sense. He doesn't speak in just senseless platitudes.
I mean, because honestly, I mean, but you know, Butch shouldn't have been a football coach. He should have been a cop. He just screamed "cop" at me.
What's that supposed to mean?
He's just being a cop.
I like cops.
I do too. I'm just saying, Butch Jones should have been one.
Would you have liked him if you were a police officer? Officer Lyle?
He might have been one of those crazy, like, rule crazy cops that's going to nail you on everything.
Like, drag you out of the car and bust a couple of teeth out your mouth?
Yeah. And I ended up having to, you know, sue him on a civil rights violation or something.
This got to a weird spot. Go ahead, Jake.
Yeah, back to the top five. Number two, NBA guard Sean Livingston has announced his retirement from basketball today. The 34-year-old played 15 years in the NBA and won 3 titles with the Golden State Warriors.
And maybe one of the most gruesome basketball injuries, one of the most gruesome sports injuries, period, man, when he blew out a wheel for the Clippers back in the day, was able to come back from that and be a key contributor on a couple of the Warriors championship teams. Always liked his game.
I don't remember the injury.
You have no idea who we're talking about, do you?
Is this the guy that retired today?
Yes.
What's his name?
Sean Livingston.
Where did he play college?
That's a good question.
See, you don't know much about him either.
I know him from the NBA. I don't know where he played college right off the top of my head.
I know him as an NBA player. All I was saying was I never saw the gruesome injury. What do you do, bend it backwards?
How do you not, like, that's like the thing that people will remember him for foremost. Yeah.
Did his foot come toward him?
No, it was just a full knee blowout. The knee went sideways.
Like you could see everything just
it was bad.
Shifting.
It was not good. Not good.
You look kind of queasy.
Yeah, it's not a pleasant memory.
Okay.
Bear, actually, you threw a trick question at Russell. Sean Livingston did not go to college.
Oh.
Drafted straight out of Peoria High School.
See?
Peoria. What do you mean, see?
I knew it.
Hey, see the thing that I had no idea what I was talking about? I told you.
I certainly did.
Number three, the UCLA Bruins football program are giving every season ticket holder 4 free tickets each for every one of them who attended the home opener. These tickets are for Saturday's game against number 5 Oklahoma in the Rose Bowl and are being used to combat UCLA's low attendance woes. UCLA had 36,951 people in the stands last week watch them lose 23-14 to San Diego State, the smallest attendance for a home opener ever since UCLA's played in the Rose Bowl and the fourth smallest crowd in program history. Resale value for the free tickets is valued at $280.
How empty does a Rose Bowl look with 36,000 people in it? Do they have any pictures of it, Jake?
I did not see any pictures, but the Rose Bowl holds nearly 100,000. It's like 95,000, right?
I saw the pictures of their game last weekend, 10 minutes before kickoff. I mean, it looked like they were about to have a middle school game out there. Maybe. I mean, it looked like well less than 20,000 people in the freaking Rose Bowl.
Is UCLA worse off than Tennessee?
Yes.
Is it an easier comeback for them playing in the Pac-12?
I'm just perplexed by the whole Chip Kelly thing there. Granted, I've not followed it that closely, but if watching their game against Cincinnati, they don't have a quarterback. And you know, he always had a quarterback at Oregon. And I just wonder if he can get somebody who can play that position. I mean, really, there are a lot of similarities between Tennessee and UCLA. Teams don't have quarterbacks. Their fans about checked out. It's been, you know, 20-plus years of misery for both fan bases, and they're about over it. So, boy, that's a tough question. I mean, the programs are just so different from location and the type of school and the fan bases and all that stuff. But, I mean, at least their coach has been to the top of the mountain, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's coached in a national championship game and came a couple of plays away from winning it. He's coached in the NFL. He's much more proven than our guy, but yeah, they're in a bad spot.
By the way, official capacity at the Rose Bowl, 90,888.
So it's actually gone down from, I mean, Rose Bowl used to be well over 100,000.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's gone down significantly. The record attendance in 1973 was set at 106,869.
How about that?
Moving on, number four. Two South Carolina legislators are planning to be next in a recent movement of lawmakers attempting to give college athletes more opportunities to earn money while in school. South Carolina's lawmakers plan to introduce a bill in January that would allow college athletes to profit from selling their name, image, and likeness. The bill is similar to the one just passed in California, which is currently awaiting Governor Gavin Newsom's signature.
Well, as a native South Carolinian, I can tell you that there is no grandstand too tall for that state's politicians to not climb atop of it and jump on whatever bandwagon, whichever way the winds happen to be blowing at the time. I do think that situation is coming to a head. I mean, you've got it on both coasts now, people trying to adopt the Olympic model for college athletes. I think that's the way it should go. I think it's interesting that state governments are actually leading the charge as opposed to the universities, presidents, or the NCAA, but evidently that is how this ball is going to start to get rolling.
What did you think about Timmy's comments today?
Timmy
Tebow.
I did not see them.
Well, you're about to hear about them. Because number five, Tim Tebow went on a rant on ESPN's First Take regarding the pay-to-play bill, saying, quote, "When I was at the University of Florida, I think my jersey was one of the top-selling jerseys around the world. It was like Kobe, LeBron, and then I was right behind them, and I did not make a dollar from it, but nor did I want to. because I knew that going into college, what it was all about. I knew going to Florida, my dream school, where I wanted to go, the passion for it. And if I could support my team, support my college, support my university, that's what it's all about.
What's funny about that, let me look this up real quick. Somebody had an awesome tweet about that.
I mean, it's good for Tim Tebow, but most of the people that play his sport were not born to wealthy parents, were not homeschooled, did not have some of the advantages he had growing up. And I'm not shaming him in any way for that, but the reality is there are tons of athletes who are going to be great college players but aren't going to be great pro players, whether it's football or basketball. And if that's their one chance, their one window of 4 years, and not even that, you know, if they only star for a year or two, you got a year or two to make your mark and capitalize on your name and likeness, then who is the NCAA or these schools, which are the NCAA, to take that away from you?
Yeah, this guy, it's James McCormick on Twitter, said talking about the 2008 Florida Gators abiding by rules is an interesting thing.
Well done.
It was nicely played by him. And totally true. How many murders they have on that team? Two?
Murderers?
Yeah.
Who was the other one?
Oh,
the guy who just got, allegedly, who was that? It was one of their defensive backs. I don't want to malign anybody. I've got a name on the tip of my tongue.
It was a starter.
All right. Thank you, Jake. Excellent work by you this afternoon here on The Drive, here on Fox Sports Knoxville, here on Fan Run Radio. And the Top 5 at 5 is brought to you by National RX, your home for Ananda Professional CBD oil, the highest quality CBD oil you can find anywhere, and you can find it right here at National RX. Come on in, talk to the pharmacists here. They'll walk you all through the many benefits of CBD oil and the particular benefits of Ananda Professional CBD oil. National RX, 11134 Kingston Pike. We are right next to Wendy's out here in Farragut. And even though Dustin picked up those football tickets, we've still got a couple of goodies to give away here. I got some Qdoba. I got your choice of Qdoba or Backyard Burgers for the next two folks to walk in here this afternoon. We will hook you up this afternoon. So if you're in the Farragut area, stop by and get yourself some food. This afternoon.
That's why I was a little bit behind today.
What's that?
I was starving on the way over here. Drove up Kingston Pike. And I couldn't pass it.
You do Qdoba?
No. I did Backyard Burger, my friend.
I saw that cup over there. I thought that was Trey's.
You know what? Tasty. And I mean tasty burger. I went with a classic.
Well, we're doing our part because I had Qdoba.
You did?
You had Backyard Burgers.
That's probably my favorite burger in town.
It is absolutely delicious. All right, let's see who is next on the Next Door Home Group hotline. Jake Lester, help me out. Westchester?
It is Westchester.
What up, Westchester?
Hey, let's get positive. How are we doing, guys?
Well, when I think of positivity, when I think of sunshine on an otherwise cloudy day, I always think of you, Westchester. So I'm doing great. How are you, man?
I'm good.
Good.
28-6, Mox tomorrow. We're gonna lose by twice the score. The worst loss in school history. What do y'all think of that?
You think?
I think you're already drinking. Probably
Chattanooga is gonna come in here and beat us 28-6.
I do.
Are you hammered right now? Are you high?
Yes, no.
You're wasted. You are absolutely hammered.
So you think we're gonna get our one win of the year season tomorrow? Is that where we're at?
Hey, it might be the one win of the year tomorrow, but it's going to be a win, by golly.
All right, so by how many, Russ? How much better are we than them?
Than Chattanooga?
Yeah, y'all throw a number out there.
I don't know about a number, but yes, we're a lot better than.
I know, Barry, you don't understand betting, but Russ, throw a number out there.
I I will say, I mean, I think the 28 point line is pretty accurate. I think we win by more than 30.
All right. So are we going to take a gentleman's wager for I'll take Chattanooga plus 28 for a beer at a sponsor remote to be named later?
What are your terms?
I'll take Chattanooga plus 28, and the loser buys the winner a beer at a sponsor remote. Or
well,
in your
this,
case,
Mr.
after the remote.
Oh,
but.
Oh, okay, well, Mr. I'm going to talk out both sides of my mouth. I'm going to backpedal all of a sudden.
I haven't backpedaled at all. I'm giving you 28 points.
Wait a minute. You came in here and said we're going to lose 28 to 6.
Right.
And
so if you do the math on that, that's 22.
Spread. So put your money where your mouth is.
Right?
Take the mock straight up.
I'll take them straight up. That's fine.
Well, good. That's how we do it on the drive. We don't do the spread. What do you call
know,
it, Russell?
Bear doesn't understand the spread, so we don't do the spread. I get it.
Bear's lack of betting line comprehension aside, all I'm saying is you come in here talking about Chattanooga 28-6 tomorrow.
That's a 22-point line. I was going to give you 28. That's a fair bet.
Wait, you're saying Chattanooga's favored?
So I said Chattanooga's going to win by 22. You say Tennessee's going to win by 28. So where are we at? You give
I don't
me the
know,
line.
We're in a weird conversation. I'm completely lost, and I've been trying to understand.
I'm not. Nobody's wanting to do your drunk math right now, Westchester. What else you got?
All right, so we'll do a straight up, Russ. How does that sound?
I like a good Mountain Light as much as the next guy, and look forward to you purchasing me one next time we're at Smoky Mountain Brewery.
Cool. Sounds like a plan, guys. Have a good weekend.
Thank you.
You too, buddy.
It's weird.
It's Westchester.
To get Jamie in here next. Jamie, you're on the drive, Fan Run Radio. Good afternoon, sir.
My goodness. That was tough. Hey, Bear, you do understand the spread. Now I'm gonna tell you why. Watch this. Tennessee's a 28-point favorite. If you take Tennessee to cover, what has to happen in the ball game?
They have to win by 28, right?
Or more.
Or more.
Well, yeah, they win by 28 or more. You know, they can win by 50.
You have to land right on the number?
No, they have to win by exactly 28 points.
No,
29 points and the bet is off.
28. I guess the best way to say it would be they have to win by at least 28. If you take Chattanooga plus 28, Chattanooga can win the game or lose by up to 27. And you cover.
Why? Where do they get that number from?
How would you just say it, Russ? They're trying to get the same amount of money on both sides so they can just eat the win the juice.
Yeah, I mean, now you almost had him, but if we go down the road, you're going down right now, you're really going to lose him. Odds makers set the line where they think equal money will be wagered on both sides, both in this instance, Chattanooga in Tennessee. The line can change over the course of the week depending on which side more money's coming down on. Now you're just like, you're not even hearing what I'm saying.
No,
right
it's,
now.
It's, he's there. Bear's not an idiot. But there it is, Bear.
It's no more than that.
It's no more than that. It's that simple. You're just one side of the coin, heads or tails. You're just one side or the other. But the way Vegas makes out is if you win what you wagered. You lose, you lose what you wagered plus 10%. And that's where Vegas makes its money. Or most bookies, for that matter. But, guys, y'all were talking about, Chip Kelly out there at UCLA and, you know, bizarro world, what he's doing. Y'all remember how fun it was watching that offense, though, at Oregon, don't you? That's crazy how good his offenses were.
And how unique it was.
I mean, it
was just a different world when Chip Kelly and Oregon running out there and they're getting up to the line of scrimmage with 20 seconds left on the play clock, hanging 70 on people.
Yeah, but they had what was that kid? DeAnthony.
They always had a couple of running backs that were like 4-4 guys, and they had lightning fast quarterbacks as well.
That's where. The Schwartz brothers played. And Jeff Schwartz on Twitter, the lineman that breaks down. You follow him? Mm-mm. Played in the NFL. His brother is a lineman with the Chiefs.
Did he play for Chip Kelly?
Yeah, both of them did. I think they're both Oregon guys.
But it's funny because everybody's doing this stuff now with the gap scheme and all that stuff. I think that's part of it is it was so unique. They were one of the only ones doing it, certainly the only ones doing it to that level that it was hard to prepare for. Now everybody does that stuff. And
well, that and through Nike, for whatever reason, because of Oregon's track program and Nike, they were getting the football guys that ran track. Oregon was the fastest football team in America when he was there. Everybody was fast.
Oh, I believe that. Yeah, I can see that. That brought back memories of watching their, I don't know who you could say today even runs it close to as good as they had it going there. They did it through a couple of different quarterbacks too. One guy ended up at the Steelers, Dennis somebody.
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, he was good. And
but you remember they'd gotten better. Who was it before Chip Kelly? Because they started getting good. What, in the late '90s, early 2000s?
Velotti, Mike Velotti.
Yeah, he was there forever, and then he hired Chip Kelly from – he was like the offensive coordinator in New Hampshire.
See one of those ones where he looked up to see who had the number one offense?
Maybe. I mean, Mike Gundy did that to hire his last OC. But, yeah, I mean, Chip Kelly was plucked out of obscurity and ended up, just kind of stumbling into that job. And now has become this guru –
he was.
Who's currently falling on his face. Yeah. Jimmy, yeah. Go ahead and wrap up for us, man. Anything else?
Real quick, I'll just say this. My story, bringing up Mike Belotti, I liked it. They opened up one year and lost to a team they were favored to beat a lot by. One of the season ticket holders wrote in and said, we should get our money back. And Belotti hit him with a, what's your address? That's why it's class. Love it. Y'all hang in. Have a good weekend.
Jamie would love that. Rolls over to Neyland Stadium, sweats his rear end off for 4 or 5 hours, only to see his team get punked by some Group of Five conference, writes a strongly worded letter to Coach Fulmer talking about how he wants his money back. Phil sends a big fat check.
Cash.
Would that shut him up? Would Jamie be able to be a fire breather after that?
Not on that subject tonight. I mean, I'll give the devil his due. Jamie would probably. He'd be like, well, he sent me my money back, so... I mean,
on that we're even, but as far as the football program, I'm still really angry.
Still suck,
He needs to fire a coach and hire a good one. All right, stay with us. More of your phone calls coming up. It's The Drive on Fan Run Radio.
Enough of The Drive? I didn't think so. Welcome back.
The Drive's podcast is presented by Disability Advantage Group. Need help applying for Social Security disability benefits? One call does it all. Call Disability Advantage Group today at 865-566-0800. Applying for disability can be very tedious. Having an experienced attorney on your side makes it easy. Call Disability Advantage Group, 865-566-0800, or visit online at dag-us.com.
Back here on The Drive, Fox Sports Knoxville, it's Fan Run Radio. My Bookie, of course, is the official sports book of The Drive, and they make it easy. Even Bear could understand how to do it, folks. With My Bookie, you bet, you win, they pay. Simple as that, folks. Get that $1,000 first deposit bonus. That's still up at MyBookie. Use promo code Knoxville to activate the special offer and double your first deposit. Again, promo code Knoxville at MyBookie.ag. Bet, win, get paid. Let's get Penny in here next on The Drive. Haven't heard from him in a minute. Good afternoon, Penny.
What's going on, you guys? How you guys doing?
Hey, man, doing well. How are you, sir?
Not doing well because Florida State's going to suck for the rest of the year. So there's that, just waiting for basketball season to kick off.
But at least, Penny, you guys, this is your first really, bad hire. Jimbo didn't leave it that far down.
Yeah, we've been through this before, Penny. Have you got any questions about how to hire the lemon head coach that you've bought? We're here for you. We can kind of walk you through this because, unfortunately, we're very experienced.
I'm just stunned that his buyout, that Florida State gave that big of a buyout to that guy.
Jimbo left us bleeding. He left when we were 5-6, and then he took all of the recruits that were supposed to sign with Florida State. So Jimbo didn't do us any favors at all.
Well, no. I mean, he's a big-time college football coach. He's probably a borderline sociopath.
Well, what's happening here, Penny? Like, I saw the video. I mean, we all saw the still shot. The guy lined up the wrong way. Ha-ha, whatever. The more disturbing to me was I saw a video where from their Louisiana-Monroe game where the quarterback's rolling out to the right, and he's just under all sorts of duress, throws it up for grabs. I think it was picked off. And the way the offensive line was loafing on that play, literally standing there. I mean, I'm surprised they didn't have their hands on their hips. Like, and I'm not talking about one dude, like four or five guys just kind of lollygagging, watching. I mean, that looked like a football team that is completely disinterested.
It did not look like Florida State.
Well, I will say the one play that everybody keeps screenshotting is this is where when people don't actually watch the game, you don't know what's going on. You see a still picture. That play was designed for that, for our tight end to look at. If you look at certain still pictures, you see the tight end looking at the quarterback. So it was designed to be a decoy, and they actually got a first down on that play. So anyone making fun of that, is clearly they didn't watch the game and they didn't see and realize that that was designed for that. And actually, McKitty, he gave an interview actually about that play as well, so you could research that as well. But, we know that our offensive line has been bad for the past, this would be like a third year. So that's one of our Achilles heels. And our quarterback, i.e. our offensive coordinator and quarterback's coach, our quarterback just thinks that every throw should be a bomb touchdown. He doesn't seem to know how to throw a 3-yard out or a 5-yard or a 7-yard, and that's why our offensive line probably feels gassed. He needs to learn how to do that. But before I'm out of here, I did want to touch on Tim Tebow. How arrogant and privileged of him to believe that everyone should just forfeit all of the money that they afford the university to exploit from them when everybody isn't born into a privileged family like clearly he was.
Yeah, I mean, tone deaf is probably a good term for Tebow's comments. I'll have to go back and read some more of that. I don't know. I mean, I guess I know where he's coming from, but.
I mean, that was my reaction to it.
Is like, there a little more context there that we're not aware of? Or
no, I mean, that's basically, he went on this rant. It's basically what's been reported. I haven't watched the, I mean, I've read the quote, and that's basically what he said. It was like, you know, man, it's easy for you to say that. You're not poor. Your family had a lot of money. You know?
Yeah. It's been a long time coming. That now they're going to seem like they're being generous, that these colleges should stop exploiting these kids and allow them to make their own money off of their own likeness. Come on.
Well, I wonder how big a deal it's going to be if they adopt an Olympic model. Like, you know, not all 85 guys on the roster are going to be able to go out there and do endorsements, you know, even at Alabama, you're going to have, maybe a dozen max players that are going to be able to do that. Most schools are only going to have one or two, and a lot of schools won't have any. And the other thing that's interesting is that will really enhance the value of being in a bigger market, Los Angeles, Houston, you know, Missouri, the St. Louis market is going to, you know, the Texas schools, obviously. I really wonder what kind of impact it's going to have on the Tennessees, the Florida States, the Alabamas of the world. And those people are so crazy, like they'll be able to endorse a lot of things, but the market isn't as big in Tuscaloosa as it is in a lot of other places.
Yeah, I agree. We'll
be interesting to see.
I think it's going to open the door for these athletes that they want to go get a job. They should be able to do that stuff if they want to, just like every other student athlete can.
Yeah, you're going to have a lot of guys getting car washing jobs for 3 hours a day that pay about $70 an hour. Penny, good stuff, man. Anything else?
No, that's about it. I mean, this season is going to be miserable, so it's going to be what it is. So, I mean, the ball is in Florida State. We're in the same boat, basically.
Yeah. Strange bedfellows, I suppose. Thanks, Penny. Appreciate the phone call. We got to take one more quick time out here. It is The Drive. We'll get right back to these phones when we continue next here on Fan Run Radio.
You can't stop The Drive. You can only hope to contain it.
Fox Sports Knoxville, The Drive continues live this afternoon. National RX. Want to thank Jet's Pizza for providing us some food. If you are looking to get out of the house a little bit this weekend and beat the heat, well, Jet's Pizza is the place to be. They got a great place here in Farragut, folks. And the cool thing about it is, like, I brought my wife and kids in there just to eat a couple of times. They've got a family dining room area with TVs, and you can watch sports, and kids can eat their pizza or whatever. Wife can have a salad if that's what she's into. You get a jet ski sandwich if that's what you're into. Of course, they got all different kinds of pizzas in there, and it is delicious. Voted best pizza in Farragut 3 years running. Then on the other side, they've got a full bar, and I mean a full bar with everything. They've got the best happy hour in town there daily, including weekends, 11 a.m. till 7 p.m., featuring $2 and $3 pints. So a great TV place. They've got DirecTV NFL Sunday ticket. They're going to have every NFL game on this weekend. So going over there, Jet's Pizza, let the bartender know that you heard us talking about it right here on Fan Run Radio. They'll take great care of you. A great atmosphere at Jet's Pizza in Farragut. Let's get Jeff in here next. Jeff, you're on The Drive here on Fan Run Radio.
Hey, good afternoon.
What's up?
Hey, sponsor of your all show is a friend of mine. That Jet's Pizza is a fantastic guy. I personally know the manager, and they sponsored a fundraiser lunch at my company was throwing that was benefiting United Way of Greater Knoxville, and they sponsored the lunch. So great bunch of people over there.
Yep.
You know, first of all, I totally forgot about Penny, and you talk about making my day better. Like, knowing what's going on over there at Free Cheese University and just the debacle that he's about to experience, I mean, it's karma in the purest. And, you know, before Penny starts, you know, preaching about privilege and whatnot, he needs to know privilege is relative. If you were born and took your first breath in the United States of America, you're more privileged than 99.9% of this world. So button up your bootstraps and get to work. And Tebow is an authority on that matter. He probably would have held and likely never broke the money that he would have made off of his jersey. And so even if he came from a quote-unquote privileged background, he still would have been a millionaire off of his likeness, which relative to his privilegedness would have still been very lucrative. So for him to say what he did, I think was courageous. And then the last thing I wanted to say before I get out of here, you know, some people are calling for Pruitt's head, and some people are saying, you know, he never had coaching experience. The last time I checked, Cutcliffe, when he left Tennessee for Ole Miss, he didn't have a lick of head coaching experience. Now Ole Miss ran him off, and I'm here to say if they would have kept him, that revolving door of a program that, you know, run off three or four different coaches probably be in a better spot right now in the SEC with Coach Cut coaching them. All right. It's the same guy that a lot of people would have here at Tennessee. So I'm not saying Pruitt is the next Cutcliffe, but if that man can get this Tuatoa kid to sign on the dotted line for Tennessee instead of Alabama, give me more of Pruitt. And the only other thing, I want to see some at running back, if we really want to see a splash, I want to see some crouch back there in that eye on a short down. If he does that, you talk about that 25, 30,000 people that could be there tomorrow, they're going to go nuts, and I will too at the house sitting on the couch. Great show, guys.
Thank you, Jeff. The crouch thing is kind of weird, man. We haven't seen him all year, and then all of a sudden with the game on the line last week, he's out there. I mean,
yeah, I've stopped trying to figure out what the hell this stuff's doing.
I like him as potential, and if he catches that ball, then we're not sitting here having this conversation. We're still upset about the Georgia State game, but we run the clock out on BYU. It's interesting, you know. At what point do you just go full youth movement if you're Jeremy Pruitt? We talk about, you know, Daniel Batuli coming back, and evidently he's, you know, taking longer to get over, and they cut on his knee, man. Guess what? Cut on your knee, nothing goes according to plan. They thought it was going to be a 2-week thing. It's looking like it's going to be a 3 or 4 week thing. Do you just continue to ride with Will Ignat next to To'o and wait for Batuli to get back? Or do you use this game as a chance to say, you know what, we're going with Jeremy Banks. He's probably going to be starter next year anyway because we're losing Batuli. And we're going to let Banks loose knowing that he's going to make some mistakes. But hopefully, you know, maybe he surprises. Maybe he doesn't make any mistakes and he's our guy going down to Florida next to Henry T. And because, you know, I mean, Ignat, I'm sure, is a nice guy and all, but he's not doing a lot for me right now. Middle linebacker.
No, me either. Have you, Alabama has got one of their most ballyhooed recruits from last year just hit the portal.
I saw that. Well, they've had a couple. I mean,
Antonio Alfano.
Yeah, oh, yeah. That guy's...
Yeah, the number five player in the nation.
Yeah, he was like the number one defensive lineman in the country.
Yeah, that guy.
He's hit the portal?
Yeah. He's in a transfer. Former five stars, New Jersey native, was the number five player nationally in last year's class.
Hmm.
It is time for Coach Fulmer and Pruitt to get to work on that.
I'd love to know the backstory there. You think that... You know, hey, I'm the number one defensive lineman in the country. I'm just going to waltz into Alabama and be a star and a starter from day one. And little did he realize that there's a dozen other guys feel the same way at his position.
I mean, you never know. I mean, some guys, they're not many, but, you know, some guys just don't, you know, Saban rubs the wrong way. Alvin Kamara is probably the best example of it. He didn't like Saban's deal. He's never looked back from leaving down there.
No. I mean, are there any other guys that left Alabama and went on to greener pastures elsewhere? I'm guessing that Kamara is probably the exception to the rule.
Right. I mean, usually they stick it out.
Well,
I
just think that, like, you know, people listening to this are probably like, oh, man, you know, Jeremy, get on the phone, get it. Well, first of all, like, we weren't recruiting him last year. If we were, he wasn't considering us.
Well, no. I would say he would be, you know.
But even beyond that, my feeling is if he's leaving now.
1-2 weeks into the season, it's his freshman year.
Yeah, if he's leaving now, there's something else more to the story. And maybe it's like you're saying, it just wasn't for him as a culture shock or whatever. Or
it's got to be huge coming from New Jersey to Tuscaloosa.
Well, that's what makes me wonder, will he rather just, you know,
end up at a place like Penn State.
Tennessee fans are salivating. Oh, let's go get him. Well, okay, well, maybe he wants to get back up closer to home, and Tennessee's not much closer to home.
No. He might end up back in the Northeast or the Big Ten somewhere, Ohio State, Michigan.
John is next. Hello, John.
Hey, how are y'all?
Hey, doing all right. How are you, man?
Pretty good. So I'm on Top Sports. They said earlier today, they said that his grandma was sick, and that he was like really close to his grandma, and so he's taking it really hard.
Yeah,
it's tough.
Well, I mean, that makes sense, and you know, there's, you know, we had the guy, the kid from Coalfield a couple of years ago, the Stewart kid, who was
Zach
offensive
Stewart.
Lineman.
Yeah.
was his mom was ill or something, and he decided
she just died.
Yeah, and he was going to take the year off to kind of be with his family and just kind of process that grief. And he never came back. And he was a 4-star offensive lineman. Like, that was a guy we needed. So, and you never know what life's going to throw at you, I guess.
Yeah, I know y'all up against it, so I'm head out. All right, y'all have a good one. Well,
thanks, Josh. Thanks for dropping the knowledge there with us. We got to take a quick break, our final timeout of the evening. You want to jump in, speak now, forever hold your peace. 865-546-8200, your number, 546-8200. The shocking conclusion of the drive coming up. Stay with us.
The drive abides on Fox Sports Knoxville.
It's a Friday tradition. Rocky Top coming in from the last break. I was telling the boys, and watching the end of the game, we were just all in our feelings, all depressed. It's BYU is running, was beating us,
right?
And
when you told young Davy Hudson, you felt like something terrible was getting ready.
Yeah, after I had a premonition that came true. Reed was talking about how, you know, they've ruined Welcome to the Jungle as a song. Like, people hate it now.
Oh, yeah.
The way this season started, man, they've almost ruined Rocky
Top
for me.
No, get the hell out of here. We'll blow this gump out here in a couple of years, and everything will be fine.
I hope you're right, Bear. I don't like feeling this way about it.
You think I like feeling this way? You think I like finding out that apparently I've gone into black rages and left you crazed voicemails in the middle of the night?
Yeah, please don't call me this weekend. I won't be around. Monty says, why was JG considered top three dual threat quarterback, averaging 2.1 yards per carry?
I don't know, but you can go back and look at the rankings. He was ranked ahead of Jalen Hurts.
Oh, man.
That was a loaded class that year. What year would that have been?
2016? Class of 2016.
Really? Now he's been here 4 years.
People are so hard on Garantano, man. I go into an alternate state too for those voluntary reactions. I'm sure I've said
some pretty hurtful things.
Some mean things. It's just weird, man. He's a good kid, isn't he? He's never gotten in any trouble. Like, the worst thing people say about him is he pouted during the Georgia Tech game. He pouted on the sideline.
He's a fantastic kid. He's already got his degree.
And well,
he's never caused a bit of trouble.
But even for like the people, his body language was terrible. Like, okay, well, he was led on by Butch Jones all offseason that he was going to be the starter or at the very least play in that game. And then he didn't get a single snap. And
yeah, Butch lied to him.
Okay, maybe he should have been a little bit more or less demonstrative. I don't know what the – I don't know. Like, first of all, how would you act? And second of all, like, is it really that big a deal? Like, that's the worst we can say about him is that he's got bad body language. So, like, it's just the making fun of his name and mispronouncing it and all that stuff, man. I guess we kind of did this to Jonathan Crompton, too, to some extent.
Do we have nicknames for him?
Oh, yeah. Incompetent.
I don't remember that one. Damn.
Yeah, it was bad, man.
That was vicious.
I think Jonathan Crompton probably got it worse than what Garrett. People forget, but like, go back and after the UCLA game in 2009. Oh man, it was bad.
I mean, we were pretty rough on.
But you know what?
You know who else we were rough on?
Who?
Remember old Joey Matthews from Sevier County?
He never got his big turnaround. I don't think people were as rough on him. Hey, after that UCLA game, Crompton had the big turnaround. I'm just saying.
Lane Kiffin was still on campus then.
You know who else was on campus?
Big Jim Chaney.
I'm just saying. Looking for a little hope? on the way out the door?
I love seeing those shots of Chaney and T together in the press box.
Just like, what have we gotten ourselves into?
That, and I mean, I was just sitting there trying to figure out, like, if you're sitting at that in that row, and they bring in two sandwiches, and you're the third guy, are you getting to eat?
No, I'd say the pickings would be lean. Let's get Roger in here next. Roger, you're on the drive. Good afternoon, Rog.
Hey guys. Hey, good to talk to y'all again. How y'all doing?
Hey man, doing all right. How are you, sir?
Doing fine. Bear, how you doing? How you doing, Bear?
Not bad, Rog.
Good. So I just want to ask you how y'all feel about the game tomorrow. You feel good about it? How you feel about it tomorrow?
Oh, we're gonna cream them tomorrow, Roger. It's Chattanooga. If we don't beat Chattanooga tomorrow, then
shut the program down.
Yeah, fire the coach and shut the program down, buddy. I mean it's just they should not be competitive with us at all tomorrow.
Yeah, you're right. We should win. It should be the reason why we should. It's not wrong. You know, Bear. We should win tomorrow night. If we lose, it's not wrong. You know, it's not wrong. So we should win tomorrow night. You know,
yeah. Terribly wrong, Rog. I mean, just absolutely terribly wrong. If we lose tomorrow, so, you know, it'll be good for the boys to get into the win column, Rog, and hopefully get some. Oh, what's the word I'm looking for, Russ? Some confidence. You know.
Yeah.
Rub some of the stink of the losses off of you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's what you're looking for is that's why I say I'd like to see the starters play a little bit longer than most people. I think everybody wants to empty the bench. I'd like to see this team get a 56-3 type game under the belt just because I think their confidence is so shook from the first two weeks that we got to rebuild that if we're going to have any kind of good showing next week down in the swamp. Rog, thanks, man. We're out of time.
Sure. Bye-bye.
14th show. Didn't it go, was that scary? Full moon on Friday the 13th?
No.
You don't believe in that kind of stuff?
Oh, yeah. I'm totally
superstitious. Oh, you do believe in it?
Friday the 13th and all that?
You scared?
No.
Full moon? You think it like messes with our equilibrium?
No. Uh-uh.
Well, Bear, you have yourself a good weekend, my man.
Answer your phone if I call.
Yeah. Let's thank National RX one more time for having us out. Thank the Mamba back at the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios for all of his hard work. Overtime coming up next. Y'all have a great weekend.